Thank you, Lynn. We play a game sometimes called What If. It's a brilliant game where that's how it starts, what if, and then you have this scenario that you've got to decide what you would do in that situation. So, for example, what if you woke up and you were 10 feet taller than you are? You wouldn't have any clothes that would be very practical, yeah. Yeah, okay. Not the first thing I thought of, but there you go. What if you could only eat vegetables for the rest of your life? That would be my worst nightmare. Yeah, where's the bacon butty in that? It's... No, don't say that. What if everything you touch turned to gold? No, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it? That'd be an absolute nightmare. What if you could live on Mars? Flipping heck, I'm just getting no. Not just think about living on Mars. Okay, living on a Mars bar. Okay, we'll go with that. it's a good game. You can just go on for hours and hours and days thinking of different scenarios. But what about this one? What if the resurrection of Jesus is true? What if the resurrection of Jesus is true? It is. Thank you. We've got a lot of heckling this morning. Blimey. It is. It is true. And if it is true, it changes everything. The resurrection of Jesus has been questioned for years and years. And here's some of the things that they've said to try and prove that the resurrection isn't true, that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that his body was stolen. We read something similar, don't we, in Matthew's gospel, where the Jewish leaders come and bribe the soldiers to lie that the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus. There's another one. He didn't really die. He just fainted. He was unconscious. Now, after everything that we thought about over the last few days, where he was beaten within an inch of his life and he was thrown upon the cross to suffer there for those 6 hours, the thought of him just fainting and passing out, it's a bit unbelievable, isn't it? But then the story goes that he fainted on the cross, and then while he was in the nice, cool tomb, that brought him back out of his unconsciousness. Another one, he was not raised physically, but only in a spiritual form. It was a mass hallucination, is another way of explaining away the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus didn't die. At the point of his crucifixion, they switched him out with somebody. And so it wasn't Jesus who died, it was somebody else who died as his substitute for him. And then this one, which I read, and I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, that Jesus had a twin brother, and at birth they were separated, and they came back together at the time of the cross, where once Jesus died, this twin brother then took on this mantle of being the messianic leader of the people. It's just unbelievable, isn't it? People have tried all sorts of ways to explain away the resurrection. But as you look at the evidence, as we read the eyewitness accounts in the Bible, it's true. Jesus really did rise from the dead. What if Jesus? What if the resurrection of Jesus is true? It changes everything. It changes everything. It changes our whole lives. Our human experience tells us that death is the end. It's irreversible, and we can do nothing about it. And each one of us faces that prospect. But if there's one who has come out the other side, who faced death and defeated it and stands beyond death, then isn't that wonderful news and good news for all people? The Gospels don't end with Jesus' death and resurrection. They don't finish there. Why? Because there is more to say. Jesus rose from the dead. And so we have this account in Mark 16 where we've got Mary and Salome who had gone out and bought spices to anoint Jesus' body. There wasn't time to do that before the Sabbath because Jesus died, and they quickly had to get him down and put him in the tomb before that day. And so they'd not had time to properly show their love and their respect for Jesus, the one that they loved who had died. And so As soon as the sun rose, they went to the tomb to do that anointing of Jesus' body. And as they go, as you would, they're wondering, what are we going to do about this stone? What are we going to do about this huge stone that is rolled at the entrance of the tomb? Now, the tomb was carved into rocks. And you'd walk into it and there were shelves for those who had died to be laid upon. And mainly there would be sort of square stones put over the entrance. And they were there to protect the graves from grave robbers. If you were wealthier, you would have a one that rolled. And that's what we've got here. One that rolls in front of the entrance of the tomb. And these women are going to Jesus. And they're having a reasonable conversation about who's going to move the stone. It's too big for them to move. Then we get to our first surprise as they're walking down and contemplating this. But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Surprise number one, this huge stone that was in front of the entrance of the tomb of Jesus had moved. How? Well, we're told in Acts and in Matthew, that it was God who moved the stone. God was the one who rolled that stone away. Then comes surprise number two. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Surprise number one is the stone is rolled away. Surprise number two is there is an angel sat in Jesus' tomb. And as we often see in Scripture, when there's an angel appearing to people, there is fear. They're alarmed. It's the same word that is used for Jesus in Gethsemane, in the garden, where he's under that great distress and fear of what is to come. That is what is being said of the women here. But then we get another surprise. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Don't be afraid. He has risen. Jesus is not there. In the Greek, the actual phrasing is, he has been raised. And we heard it, didn't we, in the Acts reading. It was God who raised Jesus from the dead. God opened the tomb. God is the one who raises Jesus from the dead. We read it in Romans as well, Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection is a work of God. And then he continues. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I find it really interesting that they're told to go to the disciples, but Peter is singled out. And I think that's to point out that just because of what Peter's done, where he denied Jesus those times, I think we're being pointed to that is not the end for Peter. We know from the other Gospels, don't we, that Peter is restored by Jesus. And so they go, they find the disciples, they speak to no one until they get to them and they tell them that the tomb is empty. He has been raised from the dead. You can imagine, can't you, the emotions that these women are feeling. Fear, joy, shock, astonishment, hope that the Lord has been raised from the dead. The one who suffered greatly, the one who was put on that Roman cross, the one who died and was buried, is no longer dead. He has risen to life. It really did happen. Some say that the resurrection was made up. The disciples got together and came up with this story for their own gain. But how foolish it would have been to tell the story this way. Ladies, don't take offense, but at this point in history, the testimony of women was not accepted. It was at the level of criminals and slaves. One writer at the time mocked the idea of Mary Magdalene as a witness to the resurrection, referring to her as a hysterical female deluded by sorcery. Witness accounts of women were not accepted. And so how foolish it would have been for the disciples to write this way if they wanted to prove that the resurrection was false. Mark's concern is to convey the truth of what happened. And what happened was that these women went to the tomb and found that it was empty because Jesus was no longer dead. He had been raised. The resurrection is not a myth. And because it's true, it changes everything. C.S. Lewis writes in his book Miracles, "The New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so." Jesus has kicked open the door of death. He defeated death and stands at the other side as the risen Lord and Savior of all who believe and trust in him. The resurrection changes everything. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, death no longer has its sting. Death no longer holds any fear for us because it has been defeated in Jesus. Because Jesus died and rose to life, we can have a relationship with him. We can have a relationship with God. We are adopted into his family. Our sin is washed away. There is hope of life everlasting. Death has been defeated. Christians invented a new word for graveyards, cemetery, which means sleeping place. I think it's a wonderful description of what death is for Christians. We sleep waiting for that resurrection day where we will go to be with Jesus forever, thinking about all those things that we've looked at over the last few weeks, that certain hope of heaven and eternity with Jesus, a real place with real people in real bodies being with Jesus forever. Those who have died in Christ sleep. They sleep until that day. And because Jesus died and rose to life, we can live our Christian lives, denying ourselves, taking up our crosses and following Jesus, knowing that we don't do it in vain. We don't follow Jesus in vain. We don't deny ourselves the things that the world offers in vain, because there is more to come. Jesus rose to life and he waits for us in heaven. By the power of God, Jesus is alive. And by the grace of God in Christ, so are we. Let's give thanks to God once again this day for the resurrection and the new life that we have in Jesus. Amen.